You may be seated. Gospel lesson this morning is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 25. It's on page 1542 in your pew Bible if you would like to follow along. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit upon His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in His presence, and He will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at His right hand and the goats at His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then these righteous ones will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the King will say, "I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." Then the King will turn to those on the left and say, "Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me." Then they will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and not help you?" And He will answer, "I tell you the truth. When you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me." They will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God.
Thanks be to
God. Would you join me in prayer? Holy and loving God, we have gathered here this morning to hear a word from You, to grow closer to each other, to grow closer to You, and to serve You in this world. So God, fill each one of our hearts with Your Spirit. May all that we say and we do give You honor and glory, for You are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So this is week two. Looking at half-truths, kind of in conjunction with our Wednesday evening and Thursday afternoon book study. And we're also talking about these on Sunday morning. So the half-truth that we've been looking at over this week in our small groups and that we're going to talk about this morning is the saying, "God helps those who help themselves." Who's heard that said? Who's ever said that? Maybe to light a fire under the butt of one of your kids, right? Come on, God helps those who help themselves. Do your homework. It's a common phrase, isn't it? In fact, in the book that we've been reading, and I actually saw this episode of The Tonight Show. Jay Leno hosted The Tonight Show, right? I get these confused. Jay Leno used to do jaywalking? Where he would go around and he would ask people different things like, "Who's the President of the United States?" And they would go, "Winston Churchill? I don't know." And just these most ridiculous things that just make you laugh, things that people should know and they just don't. And one of them was about the Ten Commandments and things that were in the Ten Commandments. And do you know, I thought that people would be able to name at least a couple of those, right? Like, don't kill people, maybe. Respect your parents. Don't steal other people's stuff. No, the thing that was repeated the most was people thought that in the Ten Commandments was the saying, "God helps those who help themselves." My, what a biblically illiterate nation we are. God helps those who help themselves. Now let me just tell you, if you look in your Bible in Exodus, where you'll find the Ten Commandments, you will not find that saying. Because it's not in there. In fact, actually, as far as we can tell, that saying or a version of it comes to us from the Greek philosophers. around the time of Socrates. But then there was somebody here in America who made that saying quite famous. Does anybody know who that was? Benjamin Franklin, in Poor Richard's Almanac, which was a little newspaper he published in the middle part of the 18th century. He had that saying, God helps those who help themselves. And you know, I think that that saying really ties in with the ethos of America, right? This idea of the American dream, that you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you can make anything of your life if you just try hard enough. There's some good stuff in that saying. However, there's also some problems with it that we're going to talk about just a little bit. God helps those who help themselves. When you hear that phrase, and you can talk to me. I like sermons to be interactive. This is like we're sitting down having a conversation, right? When you hear the phrase, God helps those who help themselves, what do you hear? Self-help, right? Okay, so there's something about initiative and motivation, maybe. What else? Don't sit around. God, there we go. Okay, now Terry's starting to preach for us. God will only help you if you're helping yourself. Do you see that maybe we're starting to get at some of the problematic aspects of that saying? There's a story, and I think Steve shared this with us at book study on Thursday. There's a story of a guy named Jim, and Jim lived on a house by a river that flooded frequently. And so it was a rainy season, the water's starting to rise, and pretty soon his house starts to flood. So he goes to the roof, and he's praying on the roof, God, just please help me, save me. So after about 5 or 10 minutes, this boat comes along, and they're going to check in on people, and they say, come on, Jim, come on into the boat. Jim says, nope, God's going to save me, I'm okay. Well, a little while longer, the flood levels are continuing to rise, and they're kind of getting up to the eaves of the house. Jim's there on the roof, and he's still praying, God, save me, save me. Well, the helicopter comes along, sends down a ladder, and says, come on up. He says, no, God's going to save me. I believe it. So the helicopter goes along, and, well, pretty soon those floodwaters get up over the roof, and Jim finds himself submerged, and Jim drowns. Jim goes to heaven. He's standing there. Meeting God, and he says, God, I prayed for you to help me. Why didn't you save me? And God said, well, I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter. What more do you want from me? God helps those who help themselves. There's a little bit of truth in that, but there's also the reality that I think that we can hold a couple things in tension. And this is the idea that yes, God desires to be active in our lives and to work with us and work through us, but God also has given each one of us gifts. If you read the book of 1 Corinthians, we see that St. Paul lines out all these gifts that God has given his followers. And so I think that there's this balance between, Yes, we want God to be active in our lives, but God has also, I think, expected us through what he has given us to really take the lead and through what we do to help other people around us. If you listen closely to the scriptures this morning, the book of Isaiah that Matthew read and when James read from the book of James, which the author named after James. Did you know that? Yeah, James is the... there's a couple things there that in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah is a prophet and he's talking to the people of Israel and he's telling them, God is not satisfied with your offerings. God doesn't want that. Because what you're doing is you're going into the temple, you're doing these elaborate offerings, but there's nothing in your life, in the way that you live, that shows that this means anything. And then in the book of James, where it's talking about pure religion, true religion, is helping orphans and widows, living out our faith. Those things that the Israelites in Isaiah's day weren't doing these things. The prophet was speaking to them saying, all your offerings are for naught. They don't matter if you're not living out the faith that you say you claim to. And then we find the scripture from the book of Matthew. Famous scripture of this image of the end of time when everybody is giving an account before God. And they're separated like a shepherd separates the sheep and the goats. Because as I understand, when it would come time to go in for the night, that sheep and goats, like, and we have a sheep farmer here, so you can probably correct me if I'm wrong, that sheep and goats like different temperatures, different climates, different things that really help them settle down. And so they would be separated out one from the other at the end of the day. And Jesus uses that image and talks about that's what it's going to be like for people. Now, we believe that as Christians that we find salvation through grace. It's nothing that we can do. But I also do believe that what we do in this life, how we treat other people, we're going to have to give an account for that someday. And so Jesus gives us this image, sets it up, and he said, he talks to people and he says, when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. We'll call this side the sheep over here, right? Sorry, goats. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was hungry, give me something to eat. Now the sheep, this is just part of how they live. It's how they live out their faith. They didn't realize necessarily that they were doing it for Jesus. This is just how they live. They said, well, when did we see you, Jesus? We don't remember that. And Jesus says, if you've done it to the least of thee, you've done it to me. Well, then he talks to the goats over here. We'll include the choir with the goats to make it a bit more equitable. How does that sound? Terry's definitely a goat. And so the goats are over here, and Jesus says, you didn't give me something to drink when I was thirsty. You didn't feed me. You didn't visit me when I needed you. You didn't clothe me when I was naked. And of course the goats reply, when did we see you? And Jesus says, because you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it to me. You didn't do it to me. In the scripture that I read from Matthew, did you hear anything in that scripture about people that we serve, people who are hungry that we feed, people who are thirsty that we give them something to drink, people who are naked that we clothe? Did you hear anything in the scripture about Jesus saying, only feed them if they meet certain requirements? Only clothe them if you can get 5 references that check out. Only give them something to drink if they can give you something in return. No. There's none of that. There's no conditions on it. It's just how we're supposed to live. By helping and serving other people and then leaving the rest up to God. There's a story and some of you may have seen this kind of made the rounds on Facebook and different social media a couple years ago. It's actually a true story of a pretty large congregation out in Dallas, Texas. And they had just hired a new pastor. And this is a pretty bold move of the pastor, let me tell you. The pastor wanted to really evaluate on his first Sunday the attitude of the congregation, their perspective on helping the poor and the needy around them, to kind of get a sense of that pulse. And so the pastor, who was this really well-educated young man, dressed up in really ratty clothes, put on a beard that looked real, real ratty beard, just tried to look as destitute as he possibly could. And he went in and he sat about halfway up in the congregation. Well, this is the Sunday that everybody's expecting their new pastor to come in, so they're kind of pulling out all the stops. And actually, some of the people came and they moved him to the back. They said, you can't sit here. You need to go to the back of the church. He's sitting there. Nobody is saying hello to him. Nobody's greeting him. Meanwhile, as other people are coming in, they're being greeted. People are saying hello. Nobody stops to ask this man anything. Well, the time comes when, and then this was the Baptist church. So they have like a board of elders. And so one of the elders, at Sunday morning, they had some music and some worship, and he came up, and he was really excited to introduce the new pastor, just expecting the pastor maybe to come out from the back. Well, he starts talking about this new pastor, how excited they are about all of his professional accolades and things that he'd done in ministry. And he says, I want to introduce the new pastor. So he turns where the door would have been for the pastor to come out, and people start clapping. Nobody comes out that door. And after about 30 seconds, people are starting to look around and wondering what's going on. Well, that man who had dressed up as someone quite destitute stands up, makes his way to the front, comes up, kind of pulls that fake beard off, and introduces himself as the new pastor. Well, you can imagine how people were starting to feel, particularly the people who had had a negative interaction with this man, telling him to move into the back. And the pastor explained to them why he did that. Now, this to me is, he must have had his Wheaties that morning, because that's quite something to do on your very first Sunday. But he got up and he explained to them. He said, this is what we need to be all about. This is what I want us to be about as a church, he said, is to not turn a blind eye to these folks, to not treat them as less than we are. To be able to see them so that these folks aren't invisible to us, but that we invite them in, we love them, that they're one of us, and that we serve them just as Jesus has served them and just as Jesus serves us. What a message. Just as much as we have helped the least of those around us, we've done it to Jesus. Friends, yes, there is a sense in which God has given us gifts and God expects us to use them and God will help us in that. But at the same time, friends, there's also a point in all of our lives when, you know what? Every one of us needs someone to come along and help us because we just can't help ourselves. We need those times in our lives. We have times when we are the least of these. Whether it's the loss of a job or the loss of a spouse, the loss of a home, maybe a spouse has left us. There's a time when we need, and this is how I believe that God works to other people, when we need other people to come along and help us because we just can't help ourselves. And you know what? In turn, someday we'll be able to help somebody else who finds themselves in a moment when they just can't help themselves. And that, my friends, is grace. That is the grace of God, which comes to each one of us when we could not help ourselves. When we're stuck in our own sinful ways, our own fallen human nature, and God comes along and God has picked us up. We're called to help show that grace to other people and to let it flow through our lives into the lives of others around us. So that when other people around us just can't help themselves, we can come along and serve them just as if we were serving Jesus. Friends, God has given us gifts. May we use those to serve others around us. May we let others serve us when we need someone just to help us. And may we do it all to the glory of God. Amen.